So last year, we had Dr. Masterson on, and we talked a lot about restorative therapies for erectile dysfunction. We'll kind of just converse about it today and see where things stand 1 year later of the different restorative therapies.
This is the Man Up Podcast, the doctor's guide to men's health. Each week on our podcast, we interview the top specialists of the field on various topics in men's health. If you have questions that you are too afraid to ask, we have the answers. This week, our episode is titled, Shock My Penis, discussing shockwave therapy and ED. I'm Dr. Kevin Chu, and I'm joined as always with my co-host, Dr. Justin Dubin. How you doing, man?
Good. Just another day in paradise. I had an excellent meal at Coat last night, which cannot complain.
Ooh,
about.
Coat. I love Coat. Oh, love Coat.
We were talking. I mean, you know, Korean food is my actual favorite food, I think, on earth. Like, I've been to Seoul.
It's the best.
It's unbelievable. It's just like a high-end Americanized version of Korean barbecue. And it hits. It absolutely hits. And it's delicious. I can't complain.
Did you guys do the, I think they call it the butcher's menu or the butcher's piece where they kind of
straight up a la carte, just massive amounts
of steak. A la carte.
Just massive amounts of steaks, just all over. It was great.
I got a question for you. Yeah, I mean, you spent some time in New York, and I know you also hung out in LA. When you do Korean barbecue, are you big on the all-you-can-eat style, or do you have like a very specific, like, you know what you want to order?
Oh, I'm just not a big, yeah, I'm not a big all-you-can-eat guy. Like, I like to order, you know, whatever I want. I like some
gabi. That's all you can eat.
I don't need only Korean barbecue. I can do the other dishes, which I've ordered at some.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah. The banchans and all that stuff.
Yeah. So it always hits. Like, I'll do whatever. I'll do all of it. But usually not all you can eat. I mean, if I'm in LA, I'll go to all you can eat. But that's what it's known for. New York is not really all you can eat. Unfortunately, Miami, there's really no Korean barbecue. You got to go up to Fort Lauderdale, which we've done a couple of once or twice. But yeah. Man, I love Korean. It just reminded me how much I love Korean barbecue.
I mean, personally, my favorite out of all the meats for Korean barbecue, I'm a big spicy pork fan. Mm. I love the spicy pork and the galbi. What's yours?
The galbi is my goat. Galbi is just so good, and the marinade is so delicious. It's unbelievable. It's just,
well, you know, when you look to see what they put in the marinade, you understand why it's so good. The sugar in there is
very pure sugar. It's like candy. It's pure like candied meat.
Just convincing myself I'm just, you know, eating my macros and protein, but there's a lot of sugar there.
Oh, so much sugar. It's just drenched in sugar. But yeah, well, talking about sugar, that's bad to have. If, you know, bad sugars, yeah. You don't want to have sugars, high sugars, because that causes erectile dysfunction. What a segue.
What a lead in. What a lead in.
And so, you know, diabetes, one of the main reasons why a lot of guys have erectile dysfunction, they don't even know half the time that diabetes is the reason that they have erectile dysfunction. They come in, their hemoglobin A1C is 12. They're more sugar than man, but yet they don't understand why they have erectile dysfunction. That's obviously an important part. And what we're going to be talking about today is restorative therapy, specifically shockwave.
Yeah, this was another episode that we did live again while we were in San Diego. And, you know, one of the things that Justin and I find very important in is a lot of medicine has been from the perspective of just treating, like, oh, you got something, you developed something, let's treat it. Let's give you some medication. But it's kind of like a Band-Aid. It's not really solving the issue. We're just kind of halting the timeline till it kind of gets worse. So this area in medicine, restorative therapies for erectile dysfunction, which Justin and I have studied a lot on, it's really fascinating. And hopefully, you know, you'll hear in this episode that there's a lot of good data to support at least one of the treatments for, you know, certain patient populations in helping them out and kind of maybe moving the needle backwards, not just kind of putting a Band-Aid on it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fascinating, technology that I think is quite exciting. I actually had recently spoken on USA Today article about this technology. People are becoming more and more aware of shockwave therapy. And a couple of things that we're going to highlight is, although it may be helpful for people, it may not be helpful for you. And I think I understanding and talking with someone who understands the technology and understands what your goals are and what your expectations are is important before you go and drop some cash on this, because the one thing it is out of pocket. And that's why I think getting informed, understanding what your expectations are, what your goals may be, before, you know, diving in and spending money out of your pocket, because there's really no risk, as you'll hear, there's no real, you know, medical risk there, but the biggest risk is the money that comes out of your wallet. So you really want to understand what you're doing, why you're doing it, and what your goals and goal outcome are before, you know, jumping on the bandwagon here.
People are fabulous at marketing. They're going to give you false promises. We're not saying this stuff isn't going to work, but you got to understand, just like you said, if it's going to work for you. And there's pretty good data that as sexual medicine specialists can kind of, we've kind of narrowed down a little bit more narrow patient population where we can be like, hey, give some guidance. You could see some improvements again, you know, with some mediated, you know, expectations, but it's better in some of these other patients where probably the data supports that it would never have caused any improvements. But you know, it did hurt your pocket.
Yeah. But I think that's it. I think it's a good episode. I think it's an informative episode. It's always better when we're in person. So enjoy. You know, the vibes are higher, I would say, whenever we're
great vibes.
Great vibes. And we were in San Diego. I mean, the vibes are always high in San Diego. So
very good in San Diego.
So I think enjoy the episode. As always, download, subscribe. Thanks for listening. Leave a comment if you can on our YouTube channel. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Leave a comment on our iTunes subscription. It's always appreciated, you know, or reach out if you have any questions. But I think that's it. You ready to rock and roll, Kev?
Let's do it.
Enjoy, guys. As men's health specialists, we know guys are shaving their balls. Yeah, we examine a lot of you, so we literally see it, but we also have the data showing it, too.
That's right. According to research, over 85% of men trim their pubes. Not only that, but research shows that over 70% of women prefer a partner with at least partially trimmed pubic hair.
So guys, we know you're trimming the hedges, and we know that most women prefer you manscape. So if you're going to shave your balls, why not use the best men's grooming kit around? We're talking about Manscaped.
With the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0, you get the Lawnmower 4.0 with their all-new skin-safe electric trimmer that protects your balls from getting those cuts we've all had in the past. You also get the Weed Whacker 2.0 for trimming your nose and ear hairs. And let me tell you guys, we all need to do a better job of this.
Yep, that's right. Kevin and I both have the Performance Package, and we really love it. Manscaping has never been easier for us. And for our listeners, we have a special promotion. Go to manscaped.com and enter promo code MANUP and get 20% off your first purchase.
Go get your Manscaped products today. Your balls and your partner will thank you.
All right, so last year at SMS, we had Dr. Masterson on, and we talked a lot about restorative therapies for erectile dysfunction. And so we'll kind of just kind of converse about it today and just kind of see where things stand 1 year later. Justin, why don't we just, for our listeners, just go over what are the different restorative therapies?
So there's different ones. There's shockwave. There's PRP. There is stem cell.
That's right.
I think those are the main three, right?
Yeah, those are really the three that you're going to see out there that are kind of been studied. Shockwave with the most kind of literature. PRP, a lot being done at University of Miami, Dr. Masterson and Dr. Ramasamy. And the stem cells is kind of still a wild, wild west kind of frontier. But, you know, where do we stand? Oh, so first, why don't I ask this? Justin, do you offer shockwave in your clinic?
I currently do not, but I would like to.
All right. There you go.
That's my stance.
Why would you like to?
Well, I think, like anything, and I mean, this is the theme of all medicine, really, and all of our topic, is the right patient, it could be a very good thing for.
I
think it could help a specific patient population.
You're absolutely spot on. I do offer shockwave therapy in my clinic, and you know, there's a lot of debate here at SMS about whether it should be offered, for what cost, and then also, like, if it shouldn't be offered. So for our listeners, the data out there on shockwave therapy is fairly good for, again, as Justin said, a certain patient population, right? In Europe, and I think in this past year, it was just placed in the guidelines that shockwave therapy is part of the algorithm, right? So what is an algorithm? It's kind of just some guidelines for urologists on how to treat patients that are evidence-based. And shockwave therapy is on there. If a patient has vasculogenic ED, which is just basically any issue getting blood into the penis, shockwave therapy can be offered. And this all comes from multiple numbers of sham control trial, meaning looking at guys who thought they were getting it, but they weren't actually getting any shocks, versus guys that were getting shocked. And there was a difference in their improvement of certain validated questionnaires. Now, Justin, I'm going to kind of present this as kind of a discussion point, because it was brought up to this morning in the instructional course I was doing. Do you think the IIEF is a good surrogate for erectile dysfunction?
It's a great question. I use the IIEF in my clinic, and I think we've had this conversation, just not on this recordings, but I use the IIEF not as much as a guide on where to get someone, but more as every guy, the first time I see them, I want to know where their erections lie, and I want them to think about their erections.
Okay.
And that's where I like to use it, right? You know, Rachel Rubin put out a recent video talking about the erection hardness scale. I don't use the erection hardness scale.
I don't either.
I think that the IIEF gives me a little bit more leniency. It's a scale of, you know, out of 25.
Right.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's 25.
25, yeah.
I also, though, use my own scale.
Oh, the Justin Dubin.
Well, I usually ask them on top of that, because IIEF has its benefits, and sometimes people are just not sexually active. So then they just put zeros, and I say, okay, well, you don't have any erections. Where they do, they just say that they're not sexually active. They don't think about it. I usually ask on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the hardest erection of your life, 7 being hard enough to penetrate, where does your erection lie once I hear that they're sexually active or not? And I use that often as a better metric, in my opinion. And this is just not validated or anything, but, you know, when I ask a guy and they come back from Viagra, I go, giving them a Viagra, I go, okay, you said you were a 6 out of 10. Now you're what? And they're like, oh, I'm an 8 to 9. I was like, well, okay, that's pretty good, right? So in my brain, that's how I do it. I use the IIEF to really just get people thinking about their erections who maybe haven't thought about their erections in a while. I don't know what your thoughts are.
No, that's a good, that's a great point. So for our listeners, IIEF, which if you've gone to a urologist many times, you might have filled it out. It's a questionnaire that's to kind of try to evaluate your degree of erectile dysfunction. And if you score a certain amount of points, you'll have a mild, be categorized as an erectile, mild erectile dysfunction.
Or moderate.
Or it goes to moderate or severe. So let me just bring up the point that was being discussed this morning. Basically saying, like, I think very much to the point that you made, like, you know, someone that answers all zeros is like, well, it doesn't mean you have severe ED. You're just not having sex, right? A patient with psychogenic ED, again, psychogenic meaning everything's kind of intact biologically. Your nerves are setting. Everything is still working. But, you know, again, biopsychosocial, your brain very much plays a part in erections, could score in the severe ED. And in a lot of these studies for shockwave, that's kind of where we bridge it, uses the IIEF as its surrogate for improvement. And so I thought that was a fascinating point. I don't know.
No, I think it's interesting. I mean, but at the same time, you do in those studies, it kind of addresses that psychogenic aspect, right? Because a lot of these studies, when they're looking at the long-term impact of shockwave, oftentimes in the first 6 weeks to 3 months, they're almost equivocal. The sham,
love it.
The sham study,
you know your
the
stuff,
sham
Justin.
Data and the actual shockwave,
you know your stuff.
Are actually the same.
It's
and
correct.
And that counters into that fact that, you know, the placebo effect, right?
Yep.
You do something to someone, the placebo effect is real. They're going to feel better. And if it's a psychogenic impact, then guess what? They're going to feel better.
Yeah.
But when you look at the data for shockwave in the long term, the shockwave patients, actually their erections remain at a higher IAEF, stronger erections, where the sham, after longer periods of time, does tend to go back down.
That's absolutely correct. That's how most of the data shows. It's really that six-month mark. So for my patients that I shockwave, I always counsel, like, this is not an immediate effect. Some patients think you're going to come in, get that shock, and your erection is going to change overnight. It's not, because the thought process of how this works, inducing cellular level trauma, which is going to cause restoration, kind of, you know, nerve regeneration or angiogenesis, new vascularity, that takes time. And we're really seeing it at the six-month mark where you're seeing some sort of difference. Now, interestingly, this morning we kind of talked about how this stuff kind of wanes. You know, it's after about, you know, by the year two, year three, you're losing some of that improvements that you had. And so that's why a lot of talk was about, is there maintenance therapy? Should you offer that? And that's a lot of questions that my patients always ask me.
It's a great point, and I think that we're still very new in the technology. So these are important questions to be asking. And, you know, Kevin's not tooting his own horn, but he literally gave a presentation today on how to actually do shockwave. We're at SMSNA, Sexual Medicine Conference in North America, so Sexual Medicine Society in North America, and he was giving a course teaching how to do shockwave. So Kevin absolutely knows how to do this, you know, has a protocol and is teaching people how to do it. So, you know, you're very, very knowledgeable on the subject.
Thank you, Justin.
And it's just very cool that you're bringing up these topics now, because we were literally this morning, you were having that conversation at a very high level.
Yeah. And that's what's wonderful about these conferences. You have all these bright minds, you have thought leaders from the field, and we're all just trying to tackle how to offer the best treatment for our patient and also how to guide our patients correctly.
Yeah. And I think just going back to this idea of maintenance and things like that, I think there is a component of patient selection and there's other things involved, right? And now going to patient selection with shockwave, really, a guy with mild, moderate erectile dysfunction, someone who gets satisfying erections, maybe with Cialis or Viagra, are probably the ideal candidate. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's from all the literature that we've seen and all the studies that have been done. Those are the patients that have received the most benefit from it. Patients who have severe ED, especially with a lot of comorbidities, meaning underlying, like, uncontrolled diabetes, really bad hypertension. Those are the patients that generally are not going to get the same improvement that you would see in patients with mild.
Right, and when you counsel your patients for it, what is your goal? Are you going to get them off Viagra Cialis, or just achieve a harder erection with Viagra Cialis, or it kind of depends on that patient and that conversation?
Well, first off, I set expectations. I go like, hey, even though the data, which in a lot of these papers are showing only about 40-50% of patients with improvement, I already start off with the fact that, first off, this is not covered by insurance, but I just heard this morning that there is going to be a CPT code for it coming in a year, so that's new. But in terms of expectations, it's kind of a flip of a coin if you're going to kind of get improvement. That's one. I already set that floor for the patient, one. And two, each person's different. Some patient could really, really benefit from it and come off of Cialis Viagra. So I go like, hey, if that happens for you, that's great. But what probably will happen if you fall in that 50% positive rate is that if you take that Viagra Cialis, you're supercharging it. It's going to be that much better, which is awesome, right?
Right.
That's the objective.
Yeah, I think and what's great about the therapy, you know, is the risk profile.
Oh, there is no, like, adverse events is almost nil as long as it's done within a properly done protocol.
Right, and that's very important. And I think asking, you know, because it is not in the guidelines, I think protocols vary, they defer. I think there's around a gestalt of what a protocol may be.
Yeah, so that's kind of what we went over this morning in the course. But at the end of the day, I just tell my patients, just find someone that seems knowledgeable about how it's done. A lot of it's urologists. And, you know, they will have studied the protocols and kind of offered a guidance on what's best.
Yeah. Now, what do you say to people who say, listen, this isn't an FDA regulated, you know, procedure, you know, you're charging cash. Are you scamming me? Why are you charging cash? Why isn't my insurance covering this?
Well, insurance is just not covering it. Right. That's the first thing. And second, you know, in terms of it being off-label use by the FDA, look, the real nature of it is that you're going to find physicians out there who are not even sexually medicine interested, but they have a cash cow revenue, you know? And they're not going to tell you as a patient that, hey, look, your erections are not going to be amenable to this. You know, a patient who has zero erections going into this is probably not going to benefit from this.
Right.
But they will make sure to tell you, hey, you just need a couple maintenance therapies and you're going to be just fine. That's why you got to seek out the urologists or seek out the docs who are fully trained in sexual medicine to really tell you what's beneficial and what's not.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because I think we also just always have to highlight when we're talking about people getting taken advantage of the idea of radial waves, you know, Gainswave, yeah. Phoenix, these are devices that are expensive.
Yep.
They don't work. And the physiology of how it would work doesn't make sense. The radio waves compared to shock waves, Kevin just explained earlier, you know, shock waves are penetrating the skin. They're causing micro traumas, recruiting blood cells, recruiting, you know, healing, and theoretically are restoring growth to an area. Now, radio waves are sound waves. Now, and if sound waves, we know, don't go through the skin.
Well, I mean, that means you're literally causing microtrauma to my penis. Right.
I'm breaking.
Actually, maybe you are.
I'm causing ear pain to many people listening. But, you know, sound waves don't do that. And a lot of those devices, they're offered by dentists, they're offered by
orthodontics.
Yeah, or chiropractors.
Right.
You know, they are not. It's not the real thing. It doesn't work. And you're going to be paying out of the asshole for it.
That's correct. And I think we'll kind of leave it on that. But basically, what Justin said is what we kind of want to pound in. Not every device that's being used out there is equal. You're going to have docs who buy a $200 machine off of Amazon, and they will tell you that this is the device that's going to fix it. And they'll charge you an arm and a leg. And they'll convince you that this is going to be what it takes to fix your erections. And a lot of times these devices, there's only a few devices out there that really meet the strict requirements that show the efficacy for improving your erections.
Yeah, obviously we'll have a longer conversation about PRP and stem cells. We'll bring in Dr. Masterson, which is the plan anyway, to do an update on some of those studies.
Yep.
But I think that was a really great review of Shockwave. Like I said, I think we're both fans and definitely for the right patient. So I think if it's something that you are interested in, go talk to your doctor.
Sounds good.